This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruin sports. I am your host, Bill Shirley.
IHS doctor said I had that Mariokioki.
What the hell you say?
Mariokioki.
That doesn't sound like a real thing.
Yeah, it's very real. Suffer from it. Lots more people have than is reported. Like, haven't you ever walked into a library and felt like you had to go?
So are you telling me you gotta take a shit every time you walk into a library?
Yeah, something about those old books gets me going. Gotta take a big old shit. I got sensitive bowels anyway.
Great.
That's like Bill whenever he walks into really any building.
That's mainly your home, though. I always feel like, I just
four walls and a roof. Bill's got to go.
I got to take a dizzle. Guys, oh, that's a good little drop there, Jake. Listen, welcome to What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, WBS Network. We have the symposium, which we're on right now. We have West Coast Bias that just finished recording, where Jake is the
West Coast.
And Jamal is the
Bias.
That's right. We have the uplifting sounds of the B team, and we have the Bare Minimum, which will be recording a new podcast within a month or so, don't you think?
We'll see. Yeah.
I think so, right? We'll see Megan soon. All right. Listen, reach these guys on Twitter at What's Brewing Show, at UCLA B team, at WB West Coast Bias, and email Jake and get some stickers that we got maybe 10 years ago.
I would like more subscribers on Twitter. So subscribe to at What's Brewing Show.
Oh, please. Subscribe to Twitter. Jake, you're on Twitter like hardcore now?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, during football season.
Okay, good.
More than not.
All right. Well, that's good. But email these guys or subscribe on Twitter, but email at whatsbrewingshow@gmail.com or Instagram.
I guess they're called followers, right?
Follow us
on Twitter.
Follow. Man, I don't know. Jake,
you've been off Twitter for like 4 years
You are talking to the
now,
wrong
so.
Guy. Yeah. About social media. Listen, we had a lot of calls. Jake had a lot of calls after the game. There's like four or five calls you put on there.
Yeah.
And thank you for calling. And what number did they call? I'll tell you right now. It is 805-399-4WBS.
Suck it, Reign of Troy.
Suck it.
Before we move on, let's do an email real quick that I got that came a little too late for the post-game show, or I didn't see it until after I'd already recorded it. Sorry, Nancy. But Nancy, among other things, she enjoyed seeing you out at the Rose Bowl, Bill, and you as well, Mike. But
it was fun, finally to meet these people.
I can't remember who took the picture of all of us together, and if you're out there listening, email that to me at whatsbrewingshow@gmail.com. I would appreciate that because... Nancy wants a copy of that, and I also would like a copy of that. But Nancy had wrote in talking about what a great game it was, and after watching Washington, she thought that we had a chance if we went after the QB, and she guesses that Chip and McGovern came to the same conclusion because they hassled that fool. So that was good. Yeah. Nancy wrote another email later we'll get to, but she wanted to give her sentiments about how much she enjoyed that Washington game, and we appreciate it.
It was
too,
great.
Nancy.
It was great to finally meet her.
It was. So,
fellow Riversideite.
Yeah, in fact, the Inland Empire Bruin alumni vice president. Let's go, Nancy.
That's right.
Dr. Nancy. All right, what's next, Bill?
Next is bro-affiliated headlines with Mike. Bro.
Well, the bad news coming out of...
Don't give us any bad news.
Westwood. Well, when is an injury ever good news?
No. What a shame.
Unless and we don't wish injuries upon anybody, but if we hear that the starting quarterback for the opponents for the next opponent has an injury, that's unfortunate. But that's always good for the team you're rooting for. Unfortunately,
that's not what you're talking about now.
No, Carson Ryan, freshman tight end or receiver or running back or whatever he's listed at, he has participated in a few games this season. He might not participate in any more this season.
That's a shame.
He came out in a boot and a scooter, which is never good. So that's indicative of either a really bad sprain or possible fracture, a break in the foot. No bueno. We also, someone sent this to me on Twitter. I'm blanking on who it was. Sent me David Justice's Instagram. And he took a picture with his son, DJ Justice, who was a defensive back for UCLA.
That's right.
He was in a walking boot.
Oh, man.
So he's probably not going to be playing anytime soon. He had that interception at the end of the, what was it, Alabama State game? Or
Bowling Green, I think.
Possibly, yes. So those two guys are out.
The David Justice?
Yes. Yeah.
Holly Bear's ex, David Justice?
David Justice?
Yeah. Yes. His son's a Bruin. Yeah. Gary Smith, defensive tackle, who has kind of been out of practice for a few weeks, was participating. So there's good. There's some positivity amongst the injury news, as well as Jay Toya. Jay Toya, he's you know, obviously he played. His injury wasn't that bad from the previous game against Colorado, so
was
he
good.
Was in.
It was good to see him out there.
He's looking, you know, all right. You know, probably a little tender. I will actually see on Wednesday when I go. But, yeah, anything else? Grayson Murphy, he left the game. This was funny when he injured his pinky. He has a sling on it, but he was participating, so you know that's good. I can imagine that they'll just wrap the hell out of it and you know club it up if it is a lingering injury for come game time. But did you see when he walked off? His brother immediately was right by his side. I instantly thought to myself, I was like, when Grayson got hurt, did Gabriel feel it?
Right.
But Gabriel's still good. He talked to the media yesterday, and one of the first things he said is like, you know, go easy on me. This is the first time I'm doing this alone without my brother. So twinsies, you know, we love the twins here.
There you go.
Tyler Manoa, who has been an offensive tackle, mostly a backup this season. He has not been spotted at practice, which that's unfortunate. Especially since the tackles, who have been playing very well the last two games, they still need some support. You know, the success of the offensive line, I don't believe lies with just those five starters, but with their rotation of linemen. So that's unfortunate. And as well as CLA Tupaki, he has also not been seen. So that is basically the injury roundup with Bro. Again, we have just tons of content for you. Day before, week of, and you know there's no better source for Bruin content than Bruin Report.
That's right.
Other than West Bruin Show,
because
we condense it for you, give it to you on a silver platter. No, but that's it. Nothing extravagant, nothing huge, no commitments. I was thinking after that game, maybe we might have a few, you know, silent commits, but no, probably not.
We'll see.
Give it a few more games. They beat Utah. That'd be cool. But yeah, but they have a long way to go, and so do we on this podcast. So that is it for the bro-affiliated headlines with this guy.
Mike Regalado. Bro!
All right, guys, let's talk about the game that was. UCLA defeats then number 15 Washington 40-32 at the Rose Bowl, where I actually attended. It was a fun game. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But also make sure you guys listen to Jake's post-game thoughts. He posted them the next day. It was because a little late, guys. It was a little late that night. We got home, Jake, around 11:30 at night. So give Jake a break. He did, but he had some calls and everything. He listened to it. It was a good post game talk. So go ahead and check it out, guys. I was there. That's right. Haven't been in a long time. And it was great to see. Little side note: it was great to see some of the listeners, the loyal listeners who watched the show. Jake was like, "Oh, there's going to be some people who ask me." I'm like, "No, there's not." And sure enough, there are people that ask, like, "Where's Bill?"
You didn't believe me.
I didn't believe him. I was like, "Oh, this is really nice. Nice to meet you guys. Very nice fans and everything." It was just the people we sat next to. Awesome. Jamal, did you watch the game from afar, or were you busy saving lives?
I had to watch the game from afar. I was actually at a Dodger game.
Okay.
But as I was telling you guys off air, I got home early enough where I watched basically the entire end of the third quarter and all the way through the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So very impressed. Obviously, I was following along. Very impressed by the defense in the first half.
Yeah.
Not impressed by how they finished. And obviously, there's not a lot you can say about DTR at this point that hasn't already been said after all the many superlatives were dropped on him.
Quite a week for him.
Yeah. In terms of pulling the team to, I mean, not pulling, but basically leading the team to that big win.
Yeah. I mean, it was, Jamal, you're so right on that. Mike, I know you were talking about, you know, with the Bro Report, the injuries, but, what, you know, you were there. We got to see you. And by the way, they knew it was Mike's birthday. They knew it was Mike's birthday. Why? Because at halftime, they said, and now, ladies and gentlemen, fireworks for Mike.
That's right.
And it was awesome. And you came up, and then
Iron just, Mike.
That's right. It was great. But like, what did you think about the game?
I thought the Colorado game was their most complete game. This was even more of a complete game, especially from the defensive standpoint. And I know you might disagree, especially with the way that it ended, but the fact that UCLA limited Washington, like that Washington couldn't do anything outside of that first drive. And
for the rest of the first half.
I think, like, I even complained about the defense in the first three games, the non-conference games, and how it just looked, just after 5 years, this should be so much better. After looking at Colorado and Washington and seeing how, you know, it's not elite. Literally, I saw a graph on social media. I'll show you guys in a while. I'll find it right now. And it shows pass defense, rushing defense for every team. UCLA is literally smack dab in the middle.
As a friend of the show, Chris Osgood, says, finally, the middle of the road defense we've been waiting for.
So,
right. I mean, honestly,
so UCLA doesn't have a bad defense at this point. And but no, that was my key, that's what I locked into. The last two games really showed that this defense could start tightening the screws and bring everything, you know, together. And the production and execution, much better than personally, I thought, much better than in the first three games.
I would like to point out to Jamal, who's going to rail against the defense in a couple minutes, I imagine, to a degree, not rail maybe, but at no point in this game did Washington, after, you know, the first, you know, after the first drive of the first quarter, I don't think, certainly in the second half, at no point were they driving to tie or win the game. You know, I know part of that is the offense's responsibility on that 4 minute drill.
Yeah.
But it was like me and Bill were talking about it in the stands. They slowly crept back into the game with these two ridiculous long drives. Mm. But it wasn't until, like, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, they never had, Washington never had the chance to tie or go ahead in the game.
Yeah. And for me,
what did you think about the game?
Well, look, the first half was awesome. Aggressive play calling on both the defense and offense. I was a little perplexed on how they utilized the run. I'm not going to say underutilized, but utilized the run in the first
right.
half. Because you could
we
see
were both that, commenting on that, yeah.
They were both commenting on that. We'll talk about that later. But it was just, it was the first half was just awesome, inspired football from UCLA on both sides of the ball. Second half, I got a little frustrated. I felt like they took their foot off the gas. Yeah, that's overall, I'm so happy with the win. I'm so happy that on a freaking Friday with some traffic, we got to the Rose Bowl, and to me it seemed halfway filled. It wasn't like just crickets out there. It was actually, you could actually hear some of the crowd. It wasn't just, you know what I mean? I hadn't been to the other game, so you guys can talk a lot more to that. But for this game, it was like there was some life in that stadium.
True. Speaking of that, you know, life, good or bad, we could hear it in the press box. At the end of those first two drives, UCLA's drive and Utah's drives, there were boos raining down. Was
yeah.
it? Did you hear that? Was it
yeah.
loud down there?
Yeah, we heard the boos.
But
obviously,
they score and they kept, you know, they, what is it, 32 to 16 at one point? 10 at one point, and just everything that UCLA did. And it helped that DTR had a few crazy highlight moves
yeah.
to really you know, that was like the spark that lit up the Rose Bowl amongst the fans. But yeah, it was much better atmosphere. It also helped that, you know, it was a freaking night game.
The weather was awesome. I got to wear a hoodie, guys.
Right?
I haven't worn a hoodie in like
sweater
eight,
weather.
Oh my god, in like 50,000 days. It was great.
But yeah, it's yeah,
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's keep.
There was some sour grapes in the Washington side. The first thing the reporters had to say on their post game was like, "Oh my gosh, I've never been in a stadium where they piped in so much sound and blah 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 blah." But it's like, I was kind of laughing at that.
Really?
Okay. But they were impressed with the LED lighting because they're like, "Yeah, and they can do so much stuff with that LED lighting. I don't know. It's I don't know how to feel about that. You know, because when they score, the lights would flicker on and off. That's all I got." So you could tell the reporters were pretty beat up over this one.
Did you see that last year? You saw the
LED
third
lights?
Quarter and the post touchdown light show.
Yeah,
you've seen that before, right?
No, this is my first time.
He hasn't been to a game in like 6 years.
That's what I was asking. I was like, which one? Which games have you done? So, what do you think about that? Because
I'm not a big fan of that. That's a little too much on the eyes. But I'm old. Don't ask.
Bill doesn't
that.
Like when balloons pop either. So yeah.
I mean, I'm the
swag,
wrong guy.
Though. It's pretty swag.
To be fair, yeah, you got your opinion. It's going to probably be the popular one. But yeah, for me, I'm like, I could do without it. But either way, it's fine, right? I can see
there's something. It's like
they're trying to
electric.
Yeah, and they're trying to inspire the crowd. And
I love it. My only complaint is, you can't do the third quarter to the fourth quarter, California love, let's go, when you're down by 72 points. That's all I'm saying. Just know the moment, right? This year, it's been fucking great because you got the lead or it's a close game. Don't do it when you're down by two. Like, if God forbid, this game against Utah, you know, it's 12:30 or whatever. You know, it starts at 12:30 or whatever, but by the time we get the fourth quarter, if Utah's up big, I don't want the fucking California love celebration thing. Just shut it down at that point. Now, if we're tied, if it's close, if it's one score, if we're up, by all means, it's party.
Okay.
But
it's
another
do they do that at other stadiums?
They do.
Not do it when they're losing? Like Oregon. Oregon doesn't lose
Chargers,
much.
The Chargers, when they were, God, they, the last game
I
went
mean, Wisconsin
to,
always does
I
their
guarantee
little
you,
jump
you,
around.
Yeah,
jump
so even
around
if they're
thing,
losing
yeah.
going into the fourth
yes.
quarter, they still do it?
Yes.
Then I'm for it. No, Jake.
I guarantee you there are other teams that fucking judge that based on what's going on in the game. I guarantee.
Sure. Now,
can I tell you which one of them is? No, I can't right now, but I'm just done.
I love it.
Anyways.
Do I know what the team is?
I know.
You
know.
So you did
that's
your own research on this.
That's such a Bill argument. I know. But.
Do I know anything I'm saying
Jake,
right now?
Jake, look that up for me, because this is what I'm saying.
What I believe to be right is right, because I believe it.
That's true.
All right, but let's talk about, look, and this is a great question that, you know, we ask this every week, but I think this week is really pertinent. At what point, if at all, did you get a little worried, Jamal?
Well, I got a little worried when they were able to score relatively easily there at the end of the fourth quarter. Obviously, it was going to have to be a lot for them to score one more touchdown, get within eight. Actually, score a touchdown, get the two-point conversion to get within eight, and then recover the onside kick. But luckily,
I mean, there was 4 minutes left. The Bruins had a three and out there.
Yeah.
Like, Washington had plenty of time. They, like me and Bill were talking about, they wouldn't have had to do an onside kick, or they didn't do an onside
right.
kick. Like, they just kicked it off and, like, if their defense stepped up, they would have had a chance.
Right. Yeah. So that's the only time I think I was worried, because just the lead was so
precarious,
so much. Yeah. And the offense really was clicking there.
Yeah. Going down there with 5 minutes left, we usually go down to the field to just prep to go into the post game interview.
Yeah.
And yeah,
by the way,
I tweeted
who
out
who asked all the first questions on his birthday at the press conference.
This guy.
That'd be that guy over there. This Mike guy. Regalado.
Right. M-I-K-E.
Mike Regalado.
And since nobody was like Ben Bull, like I understand, like Ben
like
told me
Ben know it was your birthday, and he's like, I'll let you go.
No. The thing is Ben hates the LA Times hates those because they have a late deadline and they usually don't meet it. So I think he was trying to finish it up. So he got down as quick as possible. And after I asked my questions, I think there was another reporter that asked a question. I look over my shoulder and he's right there. Like, I'm like, dude, get in. So I just stepped up and started asking the questions. I tweeted out when I got down on the field, these last 5 minutes felt like 20 minutes because it was, I want to get into this in a little while, but when I felt, you know, nervous, I didn't really feel nervous because I thought there was still a lot of time. And regardless of what, you know, Chip Kelly is still an offensive genius. And even though there might've been a few flaws here and there, and I think he got a little too conservative late, you know, trying to do some runs rather than just playing the game. And I get it. When you're up two scores, you know, slow the game down. You know, don't give them a chance to get on the field with any time left. But to have Hudson Habermill, you know, that barely make it to that first down, that's when the nervousness relinquished, and I was like, okay, they got this. All they need to do, kneel. That's it. They're good. They got the win. They beat the number 15 team in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was a little nervous around the time everybody else was, but still, I, you know, when they were in the 4-minute drill, it wasn't even when they had the ball. It was they had to convert the 3rd-and-1 and the 3rd-and-5, and yeah, certainly it was a little bit nerve-wracking then. But overall, I mean, just a wonderful game experience. I mean, this is a great day at the Rose Bowl for sure.
Was that the was that? I was just thinking about this after the game. Was that the apex so far in the Chip Kelly era?
In terms of apex of
the best win?
Is that the best win of this era?
Yes, okay, well, I would say, because I mean, a lot of people point to Washington State, but Washington State wasn't that good. That was a great comeback win.
I think
this is because previous to this was the LSU win,
but then LSU went to crap afterwards.
Exactly.
So I think, Jamal, to answer that, we got to see where Washington ends up. I think, to be fair,
it might be his most quality win. It's not his best win. His best win was Josh Kelly running for 9,000 yards on SC in his first year. You know, and to me, second best win for me was DTR absolutely destroying SC last year. You know, so it's like, but quality win, I think you definitely can make the argument. This is, I mean, up until going into the season, that was the rap on him. He'd never beat, he hadn't beat a team with a winning record or whatever. You know,
he'd only done it twice. Winning a game against a team with at least 7 wins, they'd only done that twice.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I mean, this certainly is. Got to be his most quality one for sure.
I put that on Twitter that, you know, quotes, UCLA hasn't beaten anybody with a winning record. And I put Alabama State 3-2, South Alabama 3-1 or whatever it is, Washington 4-1. A lot of people like, oh, yeah, you know, I still have people going, just being negative. It goes, well, they didn't beat ranked teams in their first 2-3 years. So I was like, what year is it? Yeah. It's like, let's stay on this, okay?
Yeah. Live in the moment, people.
That's like being in a relationship where it's been really, really good the last 2 years, and then all of a sudden going, hey, remember that time you cheated on me in year one?
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, can we talk about the good times right now? Things are better. Hey, we're about to buy a house and have our first child. Okay.
Can we move on?
Move on. I said I'm sorry.
But, okay, so let's get into it. I mean, you guys talked about, like, you were scared when, and, you know, and we mentioned that, but let's get into specifics here. You know, thoughts on the offense, man. You talk about an offense where, and Jamal, you know, you just raised your hand cuz you wanted to go first, but can you please also mention some of the many accolades that DTR has gotten this past week since that game.
I mean, Pac-12 player of the week, Maxwell player of the week,
offensive player of the week.
Offensive player of the week.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
Maxwell player of the week. Maxwell being sort of like the older version of
the Heisman,
cool. Yeah, the MVP kind of the season. I mean, you cannot get better than what he did. Obviously, all the highlights, but just being able to lead the team on offense and looking efficient, no big time turnovers, no, you know, the things that we always worry about. You know, Charbonnet was again a beast. Return of the Zach, and then Bobo. I mean, I can't.
Anytime, Jake.
Bobo. I mean, when you talk about Bobo, I mean, I was trying to remember when we first were talking about him as a transfer, and wondering, well, was he even like that big of Duke's part of the offense? It just seemed like he was.
He had a lot of catches for Duke. I remember that.
But
right?
It just seemed like he was a guy. He wasn't like their main guy. He wasn't the guy that was like lighting their stadium on fire. And all he's done since he got to UCLA was catch the damn ball. I mean, you can't ask for a better. I think this was their best offensive showing for the year, even though they've played bad teams, just because of how efficient they were and how well their big guys did.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, what about you?
The offensive line is coming together. You know, I still think in the back of my mind, you know, every time the offense has the ball, John Gaines lying to me and saying that the offensive line was seamless. I'm just kidding, John. I love you, buddy. But no, I thought, and a lot of people thought that this was going to take a little bit of a step back. You can't. With the attrition of
Sean Ryan,
Alec Anderson, and Paul Gratton, there was going to be a step back. But he was right in the fact that Drevno has been there since last year. All of the guys that are starting, except Raekwon, have been here last year. They know what is expected of them on the offensive line. And it seemed like, especially in this game, they did one heck of a job to protect DTR, to get those blocks out, and to just, you know, there were some... some plays, especially the running up the middle, that has not been as successful as it has been, even with Charbonnet. But other than that, running to the sides, you know, passing out to the flat, you know, DTR's options, you know, that's kind of a new wrinkle. His little, you know, flick passes.
Yeah, I don't like that. Shovel flicks. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I want them to stop that.
But it was just coming together, and just DTR's vision, not on what he did by himself, but the fact that, you know, he threw the ball into traffic with Bobo a few times, and Bobo, just like an athlete, just hands in the sky, snatched it down, brought it in. You know, he had I think he averaged something like 19 yards per catch in that game. That's insane. But yeah, it was just clicking on all cylinders. Really fun. It did slow down. I kind of wanted them. I know that's not Chip Kelly's forte, but for certain games like this, you want to make sure that your opponent is down. And I would have been a lot more comfortable with at least one more score, even a field goal, just to kind of just put the lead out further.
Oh, so you'd have liked what Jake wanted, which was at the end of the first half, instead of going for it on fourth down, kicking for the 3 points. Because Jake was like, we need those 3 points. And
I mean, you got to take what you can get.
I don't disagree with the play call necessarily. Like, I understand why he went for it, and that's fine. But in hindsight, like, the 3 points would have made it a whole lot less stressful at the end of the game. But I mean, whatever. I mean, that's one place UCLA so far this year. They're 50% on fourth downs, I want to say, which could be better because the ones they've missed have been like, you know, but they made a couple big ones as well. But as far as the offense goes, how can you really, you know, there's not too many negative things you can say when the offense goes, here's the chart: downs, touchdown, 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 field goal, downs, touchdown, touchdown, punt, and then win the game on a end of game drive. I mean, that's pretty freaking effective all the way through. How many yards did Return of the Zach have?
124.
Zach. He averaged five and a half yards a carry in this game. He's up to like 6.5 yards a carry so far in the season. And he's got 5 touchdowns. And all that, I think, is conservative as to where he could be for the rest of the season, because this is the first game since the first game where he had more than 15 carries. He had 22 carries in this game. And you saw, you know, Bill, we were talking about how we were getting a little bit antsy in the beginning because he wasn't running enough. But in the second half of the game, he was the battering ram for them. And I think that's only going to get better, I hope. Now, I don't know how it's going to go against Utah. Obviously, that's a whole different team. It's probably the best defense the Bruins will face all year. Or not probably. It is the best defense the Bruins will face all year until we know who they play in the postseason. But, you know, Zach is a huge, huge weapon for them, and along with DTR, and now along with Bobo coming out as a big alpha dog receiver, along with all the other weapons they got. I mean, it really is shaping out to be a well-rounded offense. And we have a new Zach drop, because we already have Return of the Zach. Zach. And this is thanks to Cover 3 Podcast.
Zach Pop the Charbonnet.
There we go. Zach Pop the Charbonnet.
Well, very good, man. Very good. All right. I want to look at it from a different angle. You guys have been talking about from the player angle, but I want to look at it from Chip's angle, from how he called. What a great game he called up until he started to slow it. Up until he started to slow it down, which I disagree with. We'll get more into that later. But his first half, he
slow it down?
Yes, they started slowing it down a little bit. He wasn't
okay. How did they slow it down?
No, okay. So in the first half, they did a lot of passing. And they exploited some stuff like 10 to 15 yards down the field. And I'm sure Chris Osgood, when we look at his stuff on this, it will be way more detailed. But I said, no, let me rephrase that. When you look at it, Jake, and you can let me know, because I'm not going to read all that stuff. But the idea is how he exploited Washington in the first half and then switched it. And for most of the third quarter, was using Charbonnet a lot more heavily. It was just cool to see it. He'd put him in an instance where it was like, okay, they're throwing, and in the third quarter, psych, we're gonna start running, and we're doing some good runs with Charbonnet just being a bulldozer in there. So it was just a good overall offensive game strategy for Chip. And what do I think in terms of slowing down? I don't know, because I feel like there could have been. He went from all throws, well, I shouldn't say all throws, but a high percentage of throws in the first half to a nice little mix, higher mix of running, but still had some throws in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, it just seemed like he didn't do as many throws. It was a lot more running. Am I correct?
I mean, you're correct, but here's the thing, okay? In the first half, we were commenting on, and we I haven't heard anybody talk about it, but this is the most blurry Chip Kelly at UCLA has been that I can remember. The first half,
it was
go, 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 go. And in fact, you look at the drives that they had, you know, their first drive out on downs, they were down the field, and they went 40 yards in 2.5 minutes. Then on the touchdown drive, they took 4 minutes. Then on the second touchdown drive, it was two minutes, 50 seconds. Then they had all the way one play, and then like a 3 minute drive. But it wasn't the fact that they weren't taking up time on the clock, though. It was they never stopped play. They were always at the line of scrimmage, calling for plays. And that was, he did that more against Washington than he had in the last couple of years that I can remember. Mm-hmm. The thing about the second half is that, number one, there were 13 drives in the first half. In the second half, there were only seven. And when you look at the UCLA drives, he scored faster in the second half than he did in the first half.
Yeah.
The touchdown, first touchdown drive was 9 plays, and it took under 3.5 minutes. The second one was 4 plays. It took less than 2 minutes, right? And the thing is that it just seems so fucking long because Washington was so plotty and just kind of worked their way down the field, and it was like we kind of just got lulled into this kind of malaise. And then in the fourth quarter, he punted, and then they ran out the clock, and it sucks that they had the punt for sure. But that drive where he had the punt, he used up 4 minutes of clock. And then he used up another 4 minutes of clock to end the game. So, I mean, I understand kind of what you guys are saying, that he kind of slowed down. But I think it was very effective what he did. And he didn't do it until – he didn't really slow it down until well into the fourth quarter where they were – you know, like the end was in sight. So, I think the players were brilliant in this game. Honestly, you know, the defense played as well as they could play, I think, in the first half. And obviously some things had to go their way. That safety was a gift from Washington.
The that two safety picks, changed the game. I'm telling you, that safety changed. I looked at it and said, oh, that's it. That's what we needed. Mm. Just that little thing helped us.
Yeah, it did. It spun it all around, you know. But I want to talk about the defense next, and I have a lot I want to say about the defense. So, Bill, you want to?
Yeah.
The defense?
No, let's talk. Well, I'll start on the defense. Let's just talk about that. That one play, and it wasn't really the defense. It was just a bad play by Michael Penix, who was up until this point been
on the running back.
Yeah, but the exchange. How about that? The exchange between him and the running back. Just something happened. Doesn't matter. The point is that mistake changed things.
It was completely unforced.
Do you realize this was right after UCLA went for it, right, and didn't score on the fourth down?
I thought it was funny, too, that like the Washington guys were asking the Washington coaches, you know, why would you pitch it down there? Don't you think that's too big of a risk? And it's like, that pitch should not be a risk. You know, like they're like, we do a million other things that are way more risky at the goal line than that. Like, it should just be a given you can complete that pitch.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was kind of funny on the coverage on the other side of it.
But it's good. So it's something where that one mistake causing the safety just sort of gave the Bruins some life, because it was just right after them getting
the air was let out of the balloon on that fourth down.
It's like, oh, wah, wah. And then that came back and it just sort of changed things. They were aggressive.
Absolutely.
It was good to see. It was great to see Michael Penix sort of running and scrambling, right? It was great to see him flustered. Up until this point, Michigan State hadn't done it. Nobody did it. No.
The Bruins sacked him twice.
Yes.
And those are the only two sacks on him this year.
And so up until this point, he was like having coffee and tea and biscuits back there, right, in the pocket. So it was great to see him get confused. It was great to see the shifting that was going on, all the movement. Now, I didn't even talk about the movement on offense. There was a shit ton of movement on offense.
Every single play
was this guy was going this.
That's why it was. They were going fast, but they take up a shit ton of time because they beat the line of scrimmage and three guys had shift the formation and they go into motion.
Yeah.
After like four or five plays, I started looking at the defense and they're kind of looking there. Like I see the helmets just move slightly left and right. Like what are we doing? What do we have to do?
And so you saw some movement even on the defensive side and sort of giving him, being Penix, different looks, having those, you know, baiting him. That last, I think it was the last one was where it was in the far end zone from where we were. I guess that would be the west side.
South end.
Okay.
We were on the northwest end.
Okay. So the south.
Northwest corner.
Southeast corner. For Penix throwing out of that side, our cornerback coming and getting the interception and running it for like 20, 25 yards, it was great to see how they were sort of baiting Penix into making some throws where he shouldn't have thrown. When I was like, dude, you should have made a throw. But either way, it was cool to see. I love the energy of the first half. The second half, they didn't seem as I didn't see as much movement, in, especially in the fourth quarter. It was more prevent. If someone wants to argue that, please argue against it.
It's not prevent, but they were more conservative.
They were conservative. I don't understand that. I just feel like everything you're doing in the first half, you can continue to do in the second half. I think you'll be just fine. I would like to say that in terms of my against the defense, but overall, a very good. In fact, what do you think, guys? The best one so far, Jamal?
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, even better than last year's effort against LSU, which everybody was praising the defense and the way they looked last year. I mean, I just want to take a page out of what Jake normally does. Washington got a field goal, right? They went 12 plays, 43 yards, 5 minutes. They're up 10-9. They did not sniff a first down. They didn't sniff positive yardage in their next 1, 2, 3, 4 possessions, and went into the half down 26-10 all of a sudden. The defense was ball hawking at that from that point on after that field goal. They were aggressive. They were containing Penix. And they did what I said they needed to do. They were awesome against the run. I'm looking at them right now. Washington only got 65 yards on 23 rushing attempts, 2.8 yards per rush. Going into the game, they were above, like, I think when they were like at 6.4 rushing average yards per play. And I think that was the tail of the tape in the first half and why they were why they did so well against the Huskies offense. You know, in the second half, you know, maybe at the end it was a little bit of tired, a little bit of just not doing too much to kind of try to put the game away. But I still think that I kind of feel like the second half is more of what we're used to with this defense in the Chip Kelly era. And I wish they would be more like the team in the first half. And, you know, you can't be perfect. You can't be perfect. You can't do that all the time.
Well, Washington had a big part to do with this, too. It's not like they were a shit team. They were a good offense, and they had a miserable first half, and then they recovered in the second half and did some things right.
Yeah, but I also think it goes back to what Bill was saying. It's just the game plan shouldn't have had to change that much, where I think they could have continued to contain Washington in the second half. They didn't really need to because they were up by so much. But
why change?
Yeah.
Like, why change it if it's working? I don't get it, Mike.
Aside from that, getting conservative, just the pressure was just nuts. The fact that you have five different guys get a tackle for a loss comes up to, you know, four total tackles for a loss, you know, two guys at a half. Two sacks, two interceptions, just the pressure and just the disguise that they had. And I was wondering if they were maybe waiting on a game like this to show what they can do, because
the Washington coaches said that they saw a lot of stuff that they hadn't seen on tape before.
Yeah. And like I said, the first three games, the non-conference games, looked like, okay, we're just getting together. You know, we're trying to figure out how this works, you know, what works best. You have a lot of transfers who have never played in the system before. Other guys who have played in the system before. So you got to get them all on the same page. At Colorado, that looked like the most complete defensive game. This one, even more so. Getting conservative, that's where I was like, you know, until you force the other team into garbage time, keep your foot on their neck. You know, don't let up just because we're almost there. I know Chip Kelly likes to not embarrass the other team, but we're beyond
that's
this right
irrelevant.
Now.
Irrelevant in a game like this.
Maybe not. But you still need to, you know, don't play conservatively. Don't give them the chance to score and then get the 2-point conversion and then a chance to do it again on their next drive. Whether it's pulling back on the defense or the offense, one of those two or both needs to keep going until they wave the white flag.
I don't think you can make any qualms about the offense in the second half, considering they start off with two touchdowns, kept the pressure on Washington. As far as the defense goes, guys, number one, what about the first half, quote-unquote, aggression are you citing? Like, what was aggressive about it?
The shifts, like Bill said. The pressure, especially from guys like Latu and
the Murphys.
Where's
the coming from? Like, off of what kind of defense? That's what I'm getting at. The point I'm trying to make, like, were they rushing a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage?
No, it was mostly the individual pressure, because especially when you see Latu, you know, how he would, you know, line up you know, on the line, and you know, just his moves to get into the backfield.
Jake,
how the
that's
Murphy
a, that's an individual effort, right? That's not a my point is that's not an individual effort. That's a play call, right? That's an individual effort, not a play call. And I would just like, you know, Mike and me were kind of going back and forth on, not going back and forth on Twitter, but we were enjoying our Saturday night, so to speak. I know, I'm sure he had a beer. I certainly had a whiskey. But I was like posting clips of the game that I thought were relevant.
Which,
on
by
Saturday
the way,
night,
nice.
Or Sunday night?
That was Saturday night.
Whatever it was. It was fun. It was fun. But, you know, the one of the interceptions on Penix in the first half came off of a rush three pressure. They're dropping eight. And the Bruins are still getting pressure with the three guys going. That's why Latu and the Murphys and, you know, they were doing a great job.
Yeah.
The sack that Latu got, that was off a drop eight play. And so what I'm saying is that in the second half, it's kind of just natural, too, that when you take the fact that Washington could have lost their shit and they could have turned into a total shit show and another five turnovers or whatever, and the beating could have continued, or they're a good team. They regrouped at halftime. They came back out and they had a plan. And I'm sure the plan for them wasn't to let UCLA score on the first drive. So their defense was a fucking wreck the whole game for them. But their offense, which is where the strength of their team was, came out and they played very – the Bruins played conservative defense maybe in the second half from the point of view that the players maybe weren't as hair on fire because they have this big lead sitting up there. But when you look at the plays that Washington started off with on that first drive, you know, 4 yards, 3 yards, 7 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard loss, 8 yards, 1 yard. I mean, this is the whole first drive of the second half for Washington. And it's like Washington went to being very conservative just to try to inch and claw and scratch the way into the game. And I think that, in a way, playing those very conservative plays and kind of inching your way down the field, that took a little bit of the starch out of the Bruins' hair on fire, because it literally took forever. They were on the field forever, 2 6-minute drives. And when you're playing defense for that long on the field, it's kind of hard to keep that hair on fire energy going. And I, personally, I don't think that there was a whole lot of change in the defensive play calling, so to speak, from the first half to the second half. Now, I didn't go back and chart it, but I think it was more the mechanism of Washington just played better, and the defense still has some problems, but they did a good job of, at least, you know, in the first half, they were kind of bend but don't break in a lot of ways, and they broke Washington a few times. They're getting sacks and picks off of plays where you're dropping eight guys. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
In the second half, they were more bend but don't break, and yeah, they broke, but at least they made Washington take almost an entire quarter to score 14 points.
Yeah, but when you get, you know, I'm going to agree with you on the fact that what I was happy with was just the execution, and I'm talking about the individual execution, not missing tackles,
yeah.
Making sure, you know, being able to rush the quarterback without having to blitz all the time, being able to put the pressure.
Because they blitz sometimes too.
Yes.
Know?
But not having, you're talking about having three guys and then dropping eight versus having to throw eight guys to make a play, which we've seen before, and it's blown up in their face.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they were able to do that. But there are some, you know, just going to the second half, there are some things where, like, you're talking about Bo Calvert gets a sack, and, you know, now that it's 3rd and 17 and then 4th and 12, and they don't stop them. I would have liked to have seen them.
There's
make
no doubt about that.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen them make those
stops. Thank
you,
Jamal.
Hot mic.
No, I know. I'm sorry, but it's frustrating.
Because I'm concerned that somewhere down the line, they're going to have to make those plays when they're not up 40-16 and it's maybe tied in the fourth quarter and it's a big game, and then they're not able to do it. That's my concern.
And it's point we'll take, but on 3rd and 17 and 4th and 12, like,
fourth and 12, dude.
Okay, so what play do you call?
Did they blitz that play?
Do you blitz?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would. On 4th and 12,
I
really
don't know if they
would.
Did or they didn't. I don't know if they blitzed on 3rd or 4th on that sequence, but I get what you guys are saying. Look, I'm not saying the defense doesn't have issues, and we're probably going to see those issues against Utah.
No, and
I'm saying
played
they played very well,
game.
And for the most part, they played a complete game, in my opinion, given the circumstances, okay?
Yes.
Given the potency of the offense they're taking. But, I mean, dude, it was – I'm sorry. Bill.
No, I'm just
Do we have anything else we want to say about the defense?
No, I'm good. M-I-K-E?
John Vaughn's looking really good. Latu with the pressure. I just like that there's a lot of movement. I think that, in this very crude description, they look less stiff than they have been. Like, you know, and a lot less guys kind of like looking around like, oh, you know, whose coverage is that? I see a lot of guys looking to support, you know, the guys in front of them, looking to really hold on to their spots in zone, or really locking on to, you know, in man defense. It just seems they're a little bit more agile and free flowing, but not loosey goosey. I just really saw a shift in like the overall execution, if you will, in the last two games, but specifically this last game.
We giving a little credit to old what's his name?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the first what is
his name, Bill McGovern?
Yeah,
oh, sorry, Jake.
I knew his name.
Son of a
though.
Bitch.
I knew
his name.
But yeah, I mean we'll get to it in grades, but this was a really impressive the fact that I'm saying that this is the most impressive defensive effort in the Chip Kelly era.
Thank you.
Says something.
Thank you, Coach Ken Norton. Thank you, Coach Ken Norton.
That too.
The linebackers are awesome.
Just real quick, special teams.
And just really quickly, Jake, just to touch upon that, the fact that UCLA it was down a few defensive linemen, that says another thing about the coach, Chad Kuhaha. I did it. Yes, I did it. Norton. Norwood secondary still looks a little weak, but the fact that you know, the safeties look strong, cornerback play still questionable, but overall just so much better than we've seen.
If their front seven is going to play like they're playing, then that's going to mitigate a lot of the problems that they have in these key moments of the game with whatever the secondary is. And I'm optimistic about the secondary. Special teams, real quick, another key part of this game. Number one, that freaking dirty bastard kicker with his stupid leg whip kick.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That would have been 7 for Kaz right off the bat.
That's my magic man, guys.
Instead, it turns into a safety, which turns into then another touchdown. So it worked out all right for the Bruins. But even I enjoyed the Washington coaches saying, yeah, I think he reverted to that from his soccer days because we don't coach that. And we told him never to do it again.
How did he not get kicked out?
It's a flag.
You
got the personal foul, but
I think that should be a kick.
It definitely is a very dangerous
play. Leg whip is dangerous.
I loved Kaz's.
Seriously? I thought coaches would be like, okay, they might say that in public, but in private, like, dude, you saved the score. Thank you.
Yeah, but
we said that in the press box. We were like, oh,
it's their response.
I probably would have done the same thing.
Look, all you fucking assholes who are like targeting this and targeting that, blah blah blah. That's a fucking super dangerous play. It's way more fucking dangerous than your
typical fucking bullshit. Yeah, he could have injured
legit
his
tackle. They call targeting.
Yeah, he could have injured his leg.
I would say that.
Yeah, it absolutely fucking is.
In soccer, his guys get their ankles broken from just a leg whip like that.
He fucking breaks his leg like Freddie Mitchell because he's got so much
torque on it. And an ankle can recover in a year. The brain cannot.
To break his femur. Anyways.
He can break
his
mind, Jake.
That was a dumb play. I was surprised.
This is not where I wanted this to go. Yeah. We're terribly out of control. But stay on
target. When are we not? When are we not, Jake?
Again.
Anyways, number one, that was a huge special teams hit. Number two, our boy, Barmira, 8 in a row now. I think, right? 8 in a row?
I think so.
Because he missed the first two.
He has 47 points, the most among kickers in the Pac-12.
So I'm just saying, he's got a streak going. Whatever
he's
it is,
baller, man.
He's streaking. I like that. And number three, we got an excellent punt. Bruno only punted one gosh darn time, and it was a 50-yard punt. 49 yards. We'll give him 50.
I want to add one more stat. Can I, Jake, really quickly? So a lot of people are talking about UCLA having their run defense. You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, the only reason their run defense, they only are allowing 80.4 per game is because people pass on them. Yeah, which is true. That's true to an extent.
It's not like it was in the past.
No, but
to any degree.
One thing I remember, you pointed this out a long time ago. Looking at the game stats, that's good. Look at the average per attempt.
Exactly.
And UCLA this season, their opponents are allowing 5.5 yards per attempt. UCLA is only allowing 2.6.
They're second in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This defense is playing pretty darn good. Now, you have to adjust that for the level of competition, okay? Because
true.
Alabama State wasn't passing for very much of them, except for in that first half.
Washington, not
Bowling
a great
Green,
run game.
Not so much. Colorado is the worst pass offense in the country.
They fired Carl.
They did. Rip. I mean, their opponents have to be considered when you look at those gaudy stats because they've had, you know, two cream puffs as opposed to the typical one for a lot of these schools they're going up against. But still, they play the cream offs, and they have second only to Utah, by the way, yards per attempt on the pass on the passing.
Yeah,
and they're really good at the.
Well, I was talking about rushing, but.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
They're better than Utah in the rushing game.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because you made the point of they're saying, hey, yeah, everybody passed against them.
Yeah.
You know, so their rushing defense is excellent so far, and their passing defense is pretty darn good in yards per attempt.
Yes.
That's a little disclaimer.
All right.
Anyways, real quick, just I know Bill hates this part, but we'll just get through it real quick. Bill, give me your offensive, defensive, special teams grade. Go. Lightning round.
All right. Here we go. Offense.
Too slow. Nope. Hurry up.
Bro, Jetcha Mondo.
Thank you.
Offense, B plus. Defense, A minus. Special.
Really?
Do I do special teams too?
Yes.
Special teams, A.
All right.
Yeah, special teams.
I like it.
There you go.
Go ahead.
A plus, offense, defense, B plus, special teams, competent.
Oh, weak.
You just gave a pass, no pass?
Pass, no pass.
Pass, fail.
Special teams, just do it. Just execute. Just execute. That's all I ask.
Yeah. It smells like a class that I only get two credits for.
If they're running like three kickoffs offs and.
So you're dinging them for the degree of difficulty.
Yeah, it's and like Barmira is skating like five field goals.
Broke a play.
Yeah. I mean, I gave him an A last week because Barmira hit every field goal. You know, nothing you can ask more.
Yeah. Offense A, defense B, special teams A.
Offense A plus plus plus, defense B plus, and then special teams. I give them a minus just because they had three nice plays, but really the only notable one is Kaz's return where he got tackled, illegally by that dick kicker from Washington. Screw that guy. Bill, what's next? Oh, wait. I know what's next. State of the Bruins. After this, you know, we're in the post-Washington victory glow. We're in the pre-Utah, you know, anticipation phase. And now, with that big win over number 15 Washington, the Bruins jump into the polls. AP, they're 18. Coaches, they're 19. Fuck you, coaches. CBS, Dennis Dodd, they're 14.
One off.
Damn, dude.
SB Relax. Plus.
Calm down.
SB Plus, they're 16. And what? FBI? They're all the way down to 31. FBI hates the Bruins.
After the...
hates the Bruins.
Well, they probably hate Washington, and they hate the Alabama State.
I think it's heavily influenced by strength of
schedule. They're all way above UCLA. Yeah.
There are...
Well, not this week. Well, not Washington.
12, down from 21 last week, undefeated teams. Bill? Jamal, Mike, where do you think UCLA ranks, just in your opinion? I'm not saying there's... where do they rank amongst the undefeated teams?
Was this a Bill Connolly article?
Isn't Liberty...
No, I'm just asking. I'm saying there's that many undefeated teams.
Who are
teams.
They?
How many undefeated teams? 12?
12 undefeated teams.
I would say they are number... I'd say number 9.
They're top 10, in my opinion. Yeah. Top 10, in my opinion.
There you go.
Here, I'll tell you who the undefeated teams are. Just so you
know. UCLA, Ohio State... Oklahoma State, Penn State, Clemson,
Coastal Carolina. They're better than Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina, TCU, Syracuse,
James Madison
University, SC, Tennessee, Michigan, Ole Miss, Kansas,
Alabama,
Alabama, and Georgia.
Well, okay, so let's just
real quick,
six,
real quick. They're better than the Bulldogs. Hell no.
Yeah. No.
They're better than the Wolverines.
No, maybe. I need more proof.
I would say maybe.
I think since the Wolverines were in the playoff last year, I think we got to say no, they're not. Are they better than the Trojans?
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Better.
Are they better?
By the way, did you see Wilner? He actually gave some love. He did his power polls and he did it cryptic like. And I think it was number 3. It said best team in LA. Number 4, USC.
go Wilner. Are they better than the Reb? Colonel Reb.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are they better than the Syracuse Orangemen?
Yes.
Hell yeah. Are they better than the Buckeyes?
No.
No. I don't think so. How about the Nittany Lions?
Yes. Yes. No. I saw them. No. I saw them play. No. F you guys. I saw them play. It's like watching. Paint
I haven't seen them play. That's
yes.
Why
yes. And yes.
I saw some of their games.
Are they? I'll trust you.
Are they better? Are they
said they're on par.
Are they better than the Clemson Tigers?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Hell no.
I'm gonna say yes. Screw Clemson.
You're out of your mind.
Screw Massa. What's his name? Debo.
What would I call Jamal if I were in Coming to America, man? This guy's crazy.
He's crazy.
Good Lord.
And terrible.
Are they better than the Chanticleers?
Yes.
Yes.
Hell yeah, they are.
I didn't even know Central Carolina.
Are they better than Roll Tide?
Hell no.
I don't think so.
No.
How about the Jayhawks?
Yes.
Yes.
Just on principle alone, yeah.
Yeah.
So that means that of the 12 teams, the Bruins are
six.
Bill called it six, baby.
Nice.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. That's the What's Brewing Show unofficial sounding of the undefeated teams. one other, couple other things to get to. We have an email from Nancy, another email. Thank you, Nancy, very much. It's titled, Solve a Problem, Please. And she says, hi, guys. I look at DTR's stats and read Mike's posts, and DTR is number one or number two in, like, all the stat rankings. His QB rating and the box score from this last game was in the 90s. I like looking at stats, too, she says. I was doing a comparison of DTR and Cam Rising. Pretty interesting. Just did the recent two games for averages and totals. Cam's total pass yards is, like, 459 and 75%, 5 TDs, 1 interception, 100 yards rushing. DTR is at 549 yards, 50 yards more, and 13 yards per attempt, I think that is, 78% passing, 5 interceptions, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's rushed for 111 yards. Bottom line, they're very close. DTR's kind of got him edged in the stats for the last two games. But then someone posts an article that ranks the quarterbacks in the Pac-12, and it had DTR at number 8 in the Pac-12 with a rating score that this article is using of 60. This makes no sense to me. Can you explain, or is it just a weird bias? And I would say this, Nancy, Mike.
I know what she's talking about.
It's the PFF ranking.
Pro Football Focus ranking.
Yeah, and the one that she's citing is from week 4, so it didn't take Washington into consideration.
Oh, I thought it did.
It didn't, no, because he's up to into the 70s now, and he's like the...
And that's the thing. They have a different rating system than what we have.
Or,
like,
Nancy,
on the
I could be wrong. He might have been like eighth last week. No, he was 8th. Yeah, I think he's up to like 6 or something this week in the PFF. But the thing you have to understand is, number one, PFF, some people believe in it and some people think it's absolutely nutty. But as far as what it is they are grading not just the score and the stats. They're looking at every single play and deciding whether the person they're judging, which is a lineman or a receiver or a quarterback, is making a good throw. Is the placement of the throw good? Is an opportunity for a big play or a little play? Was it a risky play? Those are all like factors they judge. And when they go down that criteria, they also consider the level of competition against what opponent it happened. And then you take into consideration the DTR. He had a pretty good first game. The second two games, he didn't do a whole lot. And then he's been bonkers since then. Mm-hmm. So all those things considered is he's starting low because all the competition is backloaded for him. And you look at somebody like Chance Nolan, who was, I want to say Chance Nolan was at the top of the PFF rankings as of a couple weeks ago. And then he plays SC in Utah, throws 8 picks in a row, and now he's steadily sliding down. So they're going to be two ships passing in the night as long as DTR keeps on his current trajectory. So, I mean, it really just goes to PFF is its own thing.
Yeah, they have a different rating system.
And it's a lot less stat-driven and a lot more subjective to someone is looking at every play he makes and judging it. And the competition part, I think, is what's sinking DTR so far. Hopefully that answers your question, Nancy. And then she asked, we'll get to this later, Nancy, but what are the keys of the game? I think repeat a Friday on steroids. Although she wanted the Utah game, she thinks they're beatable. What say all of us? Biggest challenge, she thinks, is just not letting down and losing focus. Nice to see you in Section 16, Nancy. Nice to see you, Nancy. Right, Bill?
Yes, it was. It was very nice.
So, with that being said, we have Pac-12 talk. Let's get to that real quick. Pac-12 talk. Sorry, Jamal. Cal lost.
No longer bowl eligible.
They will be. It's fine, Jamal.
No, they won't. They had to win that game, beat Colorado, and then upset somebody. They're not going to. You should look at their schedule at the end. They're not going to a bowl game.
Yeah, Utah eviscerated OSU, which we'll talk about in a minute, and there wasn't any other good game. So that's it for your Pac-12 roundup for week 5. You all know what happened, all right?
What the hell am I looking at? When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
Jamal, it's after 10 o'clock. Mike and Bill have gone home, but I'm sitting here looking at 3 hours of WBS and WCB recordings, and I'm deciding that since we did an extra long WBS, we're going to split that mother effer in two. So this is us signing off to What's Brewing Show Part 1, the part where we talked about the epic win over Washington. And coming up next in your feed, will be when we talk about the Utes. What is a Ute?
What is a Ute? Did you say Utes?
So, Jamal, let's sign off for now, and then we're going to introduce the show again in just a minute, me and you, even though you haven't said shit so far. Thanks a lot. And I guess until next time.
We're the West Coast.
No! Damn. The other thing. Oh. We're on the What's Bruins show, okay, you son of a bitch.
I'm confused at what we were doing.
Go Bruins.
Okay.
Say go Bruins.
Go Bears.
You bat rap bastard. Go Bruins. Dang it.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Go Bears.
Go Bruins.
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, Rob, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.